This is Vatican Radio, and I am Lydia O'Kane. Celebrations are underway this April the 23rd to mark the 400th anniversary of playwright William Shakespeare's death. The man, known as the Bard, left behind a treasure trove of plays and poems that still delight audiences today. Professor John Gillies of the University of Essex was in Rome recently to participate in an international conference marking Shakespeare's 400th anniversary. He spoke to me about the playwright and his works.
I'm interested in the way in which Shakespeare responds to a theme in Livy's Ab Urbe Condita, Livy's History of Rome. And this theme has been called the theme of the Priscae Virtutes, the venerable virtues, the virtues of the ancient Romans. And Livy, who was writing at the time of Augustus, felt that Rome had declined away from these pristine virtues. That's what I'm calling them, the pristine virtues. And so the pristine virtues examples, of course, they are the virtues of chastity, courage, as it were, living simply, not addicted to luxury. And what particularly interests me and what I think interests Shakespeare is the way in which these virtues are put to the test. So they're put to the test with people like Lucretia, who commits suicide when her chastity is violated, by Tarquin, the last of the kings, by Junius Brutus, who was the man who was really behind the Republican Revolution that got rid of the Tarquins, and by Virginius, a character called Virginius. And Virginius stabbed his daughter, Virginia, rather than letting her fall into the clutches of a corrupt decemvir called Appius. So these figures have had a tremendous kind of impact later on, particularly in the Enlightenment and in the 19th century, in the age of revolution, in the age of republicanism, including the Italian Risorgimento. However, in Shakespeare, Shakespeare does not take quite such an enthusiastic view of them. So that's what interests me, you know, the view that he does have of them. And so where Shakespeare has a choice of historians to talk about ancient Rome, he will choose Plutarch over Livy every time, because Plutarch is himself skeptical about these ancient virtues. At least that's my hypothesis. There's a lot of Plutarch to read through to actually make that hypothesis good. So it's at the hypothesis stage. But nevertheless, Shakespeare has to use Livy for certain things, for certain examples of the pristine virtues. And for example, he uses Virginius in Titus Andronicus in a very kind of strange way. He's going against the grain of Livy's ethos. You know, Livy holds Virginius up as a plebeian kind of hero, and effectively, you know, one of the big themes of Livy is the contest, the struggle between the patricians and the plebeians. So in the very early period of the Republic, it's the patricians who are the virtuous ones, but by the stage of Virginius, it's the plebeians who show this level of virtue.
Was Shakespeare writing about what his contemporaries are writing about at the time, meaning kind of Roman themes, what was going, because he's written a lot about Italy. There's so many of his plays are laced with Roman themes, Italy, Two Gentlemen of Verona, you have Julius Caesar. So was it an interest, or was it what was going on at the time, what writing was at the time?
Yes, that's a good question. I think that the English were hyper-conscious of, as it were, their debt to the Romans. And so there were Roman ruins in London, for example. Roman ruins in Colchester, which is where my university is. Colchester was the original kind of capital, Roman capital of Roman Britain. So I think there was that. There was the fact that, for example, Livy was translated in 1600. Plutarch was translated much earlier. So, you know, these texts were available, and it's part of the Renaissance, you know, that you look back to Roman history and Roman culture. So it's very much part of that sort of, you know, cultural moment.
Why is it that Shakespeare is the one that people look to, that, again, coming back to his contemporaries, they're not as famous? Is it just his themes? Is it the way he wrote? What is it about Shakespeare that grasps the public imagination?
Well, when I was your age, Shakespeare didn't enjoy the prominence that he has now. The rest of the English canon of authors was much more prominent than it is today. So it's partly, I guess, in the last, I'm talking about the last, 30-odd years, that Shakespeare has become a media sensation. So it's partly to do with the intense mediatization of the postmodern world, that Shakespeare has infiltrated that. The whole kind of public sphere is so much more densely media saturated, and Shakespeare is kind of has profited from that. But the others have not. So Shakespeare was always different because he was a part of popular culture as well by being part of a continuous performance theatre tradition. And that always gave him a popular kind of footprint which the others didn't have.
I mean, has he become more accessible in the sense that you have now more films available that are being made? Is it the accessibility also to the public that has helped people go, oh, well, it's actually, I can read Shakespeare? Because a bit like opera, people think Shakespeare is, a little bit kind of highbrow.
I mean, films, comics, opera. Shakespeare is everywhere. So children's books, any given cultural niche, any given technological niche, Shakespeare will colonize it. So that's curious, isn't it? I guess it's like a great wave that's finding little rivulets that it runs into. And why do the others don't do that? That's a good question, but I suppose they're not a great wave. I don't think that's necessarily to do with a particular virtue of Shakespeare's, though Shakespeare has great virtue. It's more to do with the fact that Shakespeare has always had this popular cultural reputation, popular cultural impact, simply through theatre, through English theatre in English, obviously, but also, particularly from the 18th century, through European theatre and, of course, American theatre. And now you find that Shakespeare is the most popular dramatist in Tokyo, places like that. So that's bizarre, isn't it?
Just one final question. Just being here, what's it like to be here, to be talking to your own peers about Shakespeare and getting kind of their thoughts and being here in Italy, in Rome, for this conference?
Oh, well, that's always tremendous, talking to one's own peers. But what's really tremendous is being right where we're sitting at the moment. That is really tremendous, I think, being right here in the Capitol, about to hear a talk on Julius Caesar, I think. So that is what is tremendous. I always love Rome. It's there's no other city like it in the world that even comes close. So that is extraordinary to me.